Log Talk Radio.
You are listening to two very important things. One, the sound of my voice. Hey guys, missed ya. Two, more importantly, HR Happy Hour, sponsored by none other than Acquires Wisdom 2012. Wisdom 2012 is the premier workforce planning and analytics conference from May 6th through the 8th in Dallas, Texas. Wisdom 2012. 3 days, two conferences, one source for actionable workforce planning and analytics insight. Register now, this is for you cheapos, and save $200. That's a 25% discount off the full conference price. Go to acquireinc.com/wisdom2012 to learn more. Have a great show, Steve.
New Jersey. Love it here in the Garden State. Special HR Happy Hour Tuesday, March 6, 2012. My name's Steve Bowes. Great to have you with us tonight. Taking the HR Happy Hour show on the road for the first time in 2012, live from New Jersey, from Rutgers University, beautiful campus. I have a special affinity for Rutgers. You know, it was my fallback school. You know, when you apply, you've got, okay, I'm going to try to go here, and I got my backup. Right, and set back up. So I sort of always root for them, kind of as my alma mater that I don't really have, that I didn't go to. So great to be on campus at Rutgers. Certainly, Robert Hans is with me. I'm gonna interview you right now, Rob, because I want to ask you something. And I'm looking at you, okay. Robert. How are you?
All right, good, Steve.
Thanks for having me down here tonight.
So, no problem. Thanks for coming down.
Is there nothing like being on a college campus to make you feel old?
That's right.
Oh my God, it was horrible walking through here.
Yeah.
Everyone was so lively and full of potential and
excitement and a lot of eating. You had to walk through the dining room to get here.
Life will hopefully beat that out of them shortly. So anyway, great to be here. This is episode 139. We're going to talk about recruiting tonight. We're at the Staffing Management Association of New Jersey, a meeting here at Rutgers University. Robert invited me down, and I'm so happy to be here. This is a great kind of setup. It's a great we can talk a little bit about the New Jersey Staffing Management Association in a couple of minutes. We're also going to talk a little more generally about recruiting, what's happening in recruiting, some of the things that are impacting recruiting, and then just open it up for folks to comment or call. We've got a small but committed group here in person as well, so if some of the folks here in the live audience want to chime in, that'll be great too. So for you guys listening at home, I appreciate you being with us, especially since it's not our normal night. Your schedule's maybe thrown off a little, but we appreciate you listening tonight. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086, and press 1 if you want to come on board tonight, ask a question, make a comment. We'll have plenty of time to take calls and questions. And, of course, our hashtag on Twitter is HRHappyHour. We'll keep an eye on that as well. So super to be here. So, Robert.
Yes.
You're with me here. You're my host here tonight. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, folks who don't know Robert, tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll talk a little bit about the New Jersey Staffing Management Association.
Okay, I'm Robert Hans. I'm the president currently for the Staffing Management Association of New Jersey. It's a specialty chapter that is in line with recruiting. Started by Jerry Crispin back in 2004, but you asked about me first.
Forget Crispin. He's not here. Yeah. We'll talk about him later.
I actually started in recruiting probably about 15, 16 years ago as an agency recruiter, been both on the corporate side and the agency side. I currently run my own small boutique myself.
That's great.
Doing medical device and pharmaceutical recruiting. So
okay.
That's one of the things that
Which
I do.
Which is a big New Jersey industry.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I'm a New Jersey.
There you go.
New Jersey born and went to school here, St. Peter's College. So I'm in
Jersey
right,
City, right?
Right.
Yeah,
Jersey
yeah, yeah.
City, Hudson County, Bergen County. That's always been the areas and stuff like that. So about 3 years ago, I got very active in the Staffing Management Association. First as a program director, and now more as a president, taking over this past year from Mike Canista, who did a great job for the past 3 years. Jerry Crispin actually started this organization, like I said, back in 2004, I believe.
Okay.
It's a specialty chapter just exclusively for recruitment, for staffing professionals. We do get into other HR topics, obviously, because recruiting does go into other areas of HR, but there is much more of a staffing dynamic to this group. We meet anywhere in the state. Most groups are regional.
Right.
This is more to the topic rather than to the region.
Right, to the region, right.
Right.
So it's focused.
Right. There's a number of them. Chicago has one. Dallas has Staffing Management Association. So there's a number of large areas, metropolitan areas or states that do that. We do it by the state here in New Jersey.
Right, and it's funny, you know, I'm a Jersey guy, too. I don't live in Jersey anymore, but I grew up in Jersey, went to school, you know, through high school in Jersey, and you had the backup school as well. So it's funny how Jersey, right, you go out, you travel around the country, right, and Jersey, right, is known now probably more primarily from how it's portrayed a popular culture, right? So between The Sopranos and The Real Housewives and
our governor,
yeah, right,
fills right in with that.
Right,
that
right, Jersey Shore. So I did though. As a matter of fact, I was down in South Jersey. So it's completely an aside, but we have a few minutes here. We could humor me for a second. So I was down in South Jersey today, and you know, I was talking to someone. And said, oh, you know, I said, how close is the beach? You know, the beach is right here. And the person accused me of like wanting to go, you know, try to take pictures of the Jersey Shore, you know, locations. Like that was my goal. Well, like, oh, I just want to see the beach. So I did get down to the beach for five minutes today. It was sunny but cold with my forecast down on. So I was on the Jersey Shore literally today, earlier today, which was fantastic. So
we do get a bit of a bad rap sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
And I know that from a recruiting perspective because sometimes I've tried to recruit people from other parts of the country to New Jersey because a lot of my clients were in New Jersey, obviously, and sometimes you have difficulty, but you know there are some nice things about New Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, it's a really good point though about this idea of you're trying to bring people into a location, whether it's Jersey or maybe somewhere I don't know, rural or somewhere. Whatever. Every place has got its own unique set of circumstances and potential hurdles you've got to overcome when you're recruiting into it, right? And I guess that's true. I never thought of it that way. But
I remember way back when I was recruiting somebody for, I don't want to get the names or anything, but I knew when his wife got off the plane and saw New Jersey in Newark Airport, we were doomed.
You're done?
We were done.
Down the turnpike?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but there are a lot of nice places in New Jersey. The Jersey Shore.
I wonder if you like,
So.
There's only so much of that candidate experience, right? You can control.
That's right. That's right. So.
Can we have the refineries turned off for a day, please?
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, Robert, man, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. It's I love coming back to New Jersey. I don't get down here often enough, sadly. I haven't had, you know, the Mets have been so terrible for a while. I haven't had that driving me. Now I've got my Knicks, though.
Yeah, so, that's good. Sandy is going all over the place.
I'll have to get down to Jersey a little bit more often now. So let's talk a little bit about just some general recruiting topics. We wanted to talk about sort of the state of the recruiting. And folks who are here, please feel free. You want to jump in the conversation, just kind of move a little closer to the phone, and you're on board. And if I call on you, don't be shy, New Jersey recruiters. I don't think we could say New Jersey recruiters are a shy group, Robert.
No,
that's a New Jersey and recruiting, right? If you're shy, you're in the wrong business and in the wrong state probably, right?
That's right.
You've got two problems. So, I mean, so you've been in recruiting a while, 15, 16 years, and we were talking before the show. We're looking, and by the way, let me just, before I get into that, we're in this sort of career center here at Rutgers University. So this is a place where...
Very nice.
Yeah, it's quite honestly, it's gigantic.
Yeah.
It's not just this whole facility we're in, this campus center, the student union or whatever it's called these days, whatever these young kids call this these days, but the facility is huge, but this particular area of the facility they've carved out for these the career services offices is huge. This must be 15,000 square feet of space. And so Robert and I are sitting in here, and we're seeing all these books. And one of the books I pulled off the shelf, and this is going to lead me into the question of how recruiting is changing, is a book called The Twitter Job Search Guide. Okay, I know this is radio, but if you were here, you could see me holding up the book and waving it around. So this book is called The Twitter Job Search Guide, which I had never heard of before. And it may be a fantastic book, and we were looking through it a little bit before the show, and I noticed the publication date is 2010. So, like, I wonder if the book's kind of out of date already. You know, it's like 250 pages long of Twitter advice.
Right, by the time you finish the book, you'd be out of date. Did you say?
By the time you get to chapter 27, is it out of date? So, it reminds me. One of my great jobs I had in Jersey is I worked at a cemetery, right? And I used to cut the grass, right? Okay. Giant cemetery. And that was the deal with the cemetery. When you got to the end, when you'd cut all the cemetery, it was all sort of cut, it was time to start cutting again. Robert, man, what are the big changes? 15 years? I mean, what's different today than it was?
I was sharing with Steve before, too. I mean, when I first got into it, I mean, I remember getting into the agency. I was in a bullpen setting. We just started with email. Fax was the in thing, and the phone, obviously. Well, sometimes we lose the phone. I think the phone we lose a little bit along the way, but social media was not at all present, and it's so totally different today and how you go about, I think, finding somebody. And Steve and I were sharing, like, it's almost impossible not to be able to find somebody through some online mechanism at this point in time between the different services that are out there, between your LinkedIn, your Jigsaw, your Zoom info, so on. So there's so many different areas to find names and numbers and emails and things like that. So that's definitely a change, because years ago, I mean, I still work off of lists, because I think that's just how recruiters should work.
Right. So when you say lists, does that mean just the equivalent of your old private Rolodex?
A little bit of that, but also a little bit of just pure research of a list of a company and where I'm trying to go with it. I mean, that's, I think, what a sorcerer would do, and that's years ago. That's another thing I think that has changed in the whole recruitment process. Every piece of the recruitment process has been segmented out into it's a sorcerer, and it's this and onboard. Full cycle recruiting is not as in vogue, but I guess there is some still doing full cycle. But it seems like more and more of it is getting broken apart by different people, different functions with different people. You know, and that is definitely a difference. You know, that I see.
Yeah, I get the sense that, too, we've heard of that a lot. You know, we were talking before the show about just the findability aspect, and we were, saying you're working on a project and trying to fill a position, and getting that whole, well, that guy's on LinkedIn, or that woman's over here, or I can find, where's the value add? The value add's got to change a little bit when sort of the universe of people becomes the same universe we all can draw from, right? And I think that's got to be challenging, right?
Yeah, and I do think, there'll always be a certain recruitment for an executive recruiter at a certain level. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Right.
But I do think that hiring managers within companies are going to be more focused on recruiting as they become part of this whole mechanism. Like, when I first started, LinkedIn, it was 2004 when I first got on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I really wasn't, I would say it sat for years before I really, because basically I was meeting other recruiters.
Yeah, the job seekers, the potential candidate, the professionals, not necessarily job seekers, but the average professional you might want to contact.
Right. Wasn't
they
on,
weren't there, right? Was,
you had a lot of IT people and stuff, but you didn't hate
them.
Yeah. But I mean, if that was not what you were recruiting for, then you wouldn't find them on there. But now that has definitely opened up more. And there are other sites. I mean, there's so many social media sites between Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook, although Facebook I don't really use as a recruiting tool for some reason.
Yeah, we could talk about that some, too. I mean, that's a whole another, green field maybe out there, right? And there's been a lot of energy in the last year or so, maybe 18 months around Facebook as a recruiting tool, if that's the word, or platform. I remember a few months ago, Facebook had released results of a study they commissioned from some academics. I think they were, I don't know if they were from the Netherlands or doesn't matter.
Right. Okay.
And so the idea was, is take that whole 6 degrees of separation deal, right? We've heard that a million times. Everybody, 6 degrees, you know, goes back a million years. Let's apply that to the Facebook social graph, and let's see how many degrees it really is, right? Let's see if it's true, right? Can we connect any – how many steps is it between random Facebook user one and random Facebook user two anywhere in the world? And the study proved out by, you know, analyzing 800 million records or something like that, it's like 4.2 or something like that. That's how many degrees of separation there were between any random two Facebook people. So it's less than six. It's more like closer to four. And once you got inside countries, it became even lower. It became like three or even a little less in many countries, right? So everybody's connected, right? That's sort of the takeaway, right? Everybody's sort of connected to everybody. It's not that far away. People, anybody can find everybody. And so, like, you got this weird thing, right? You've got sort of all the people, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook or somewhere else, they're kind of, you can, you know, say, well, everybody's findable. Every
right.
person's, almost every person worth finding is findable. And a lot, right, how many jobs are sort of findable too, right? I mean, there's lots of jobs that are never going to get sort of publicly advertised. They're going to be filled through internal mechanisms. But for the most part, right, and you can, recruiters in this room can tell me I'm wrong, but what's the percentage of jobs that get out there into the public domain and are out there, whether they're posted on a company website or they're scraped or on a job board or on LinkedIn, right? So if you're saying all the jobs are out there, right, and all the people are out there too, it's just, right, can we just design these big algorithms, right, to put
right.
all that together? And that's where you guys sit in the middle of all that, but it's changed dramatically.
And there is the algorithm of it, but there's also the art of it. There still is an art to it. I mean, and that's because basically, especially when you're working from an agency side or an executive recruiter side, it's a double close. You know, the candidate has to say yes, and so does the client have to say yes. You know, and that's an important aspect of recruiting. A lot of people don't see that all the time. You need two yeses to make anything happen in recruitment. So that's a part that there is a certain art to that. And I still
right.
think you'll always have that art, but I think, again, finding people is easier today.
Right.
You know, the one thing I've seen over the years that I've recruited, the front end of trying to find somebody was a longer process than when I first started.
Right. Okay. So the level of effort's now shifting along
yeah.
your sort of
now
chain,
it's from the point of contact on to close again is another whole element that probably is taking longer. And I think a lot of people even feel that that's where the candidate experience is something that Jerry Crispin always talks
right.
about. They fall into a dead hole, a
right.
black hole, right? You know, and that's because it's so quick to get a resume out, but the response time
yeah.
to get
I
back
mean, the,
and to do all the process after takes longer.
The candidate experience thing is an interesting topic. We've sort of done it on the show before, and I don't know where I'm at on that. I mean, I can see both sides of that argument. A lot of times I see, you know, you've been in, especially in larger corporations, like you say, well, do they really care, right? Do they really care about that at all, right? And is it in their best interest? You know, you'll have some people take a position that it's not really in their best use of their time, resources, energy, effort, right, to care that much about the candidate experience. And you've got other people who are completely on the other side of that and will argue that it's really important, and there's a lot of good reasons why they say that too. I think that that's like maybe like the whole talent community debate as well, like whether
yeah,
or not
yeah.
that even exists and doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking that when you said, because that's the other side of that. Companies say they can't find the right people. I think that's a lot of times they don't want to find the right people.
Maybe.
You know, I think there's certain criteria that a person needs to meet to a certain spec of a job, but there's also times when I think a company almost puts blinders on unless it's 100% perfect, and that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
You know, most jobs, there's some on-the-job training. I don't care what level you are at. There's some aspect of that. So that's kind of that's the other end of the experience.
Yeah, I guess I've been in that situation before, too, more on the corporate side. You've seen scenarios where, you know, you can see scenarios where you think, boy, that manager or that organization is kind of just sitting there playing it safe because in many, they might have interpreted it. It's much easier for me to say, you know what, I can't find the right people for that job.
So
therefore,
I can't get this project
I can't get, right, I can't do this project. I don't have the pressure. I don't have to find somebody and train them. I don't have to, all these hard things, right?
Right?
Even though maybe the goal, maybe it's a cultural problem too, I guess
right.
it is. But, right, it's right. sometimes the default of, oh, I can't do it. We don't have the staff. We don't have the people, right?
Right,
an easy
right.
way out. Robert, let me do a quick pause here. Take a breath. Let's all just calm down, all right? New Jersey recruiting crowd. This is the HR Happy Hour Show, live from New Jersey, from Rutgers University Staffing Management Association of New Jersey meeting. With Robert Hans, who's sitting in with me. If you recruiters in the room, please feel free to sidle up to the table and get on board. I think we're scaring some of them, quite frankly.
Yes.
They're New Jersey recruiters. I'm shocked. But our calling number is 646-378-1086. Folks who are on hold, anybody wants to come on board and ask a question or make a comment, just please press 1 and we'll open up your line straight away. On Twitter, our hashtag is HRHappyHour. We'll keep it an eye on that as well. So it's been an interesting you're good. You know, I think Robert, one of the things you talked about earlier in your earlier comments, I think I'd like to circle back to, is this idea of recruiting shifting and becoming, in your opinion or from your experience, becoming more important and more part of the evaluation of line managers and hiring managers, and that the ability to attract and basically convert employees to come work for, like, almost like that startup mentality, right? When you read about startups and they talk to founders of startups and say, well, what's the most important thing you're doing, or what's the key things you're focusing on right now? It's always the same thing. It's like building a team, right? They came up with the idea.
Right.
Now they got to get the people to execute. Now they have to get the right staff. And a lot of times in recruiting, right, and especially on the corporate side, it's more recruiters pushing, right, all the time versus that sort of hiring measure. Do you really think that shift can start to happen? And what would that look like if it does? What would that mean to recruiting if the recruiting function started moving up the chain a little bit more?
I do think the shift is starting to happen. I do. Now, again, I don't think the managers have to become the recruiter, because I think there's still going to be a function to recruiting. There's no question about that. But the idea of branding yourself and attracting the right type of candidate to your group, I think the startup example is a good example, because
right.
A startup basically usually does that. They attract people because of the excitement of the event, all right? And they're looking for like-minded individuals that would be attracted to, you know, that kind of what's happening. So,
right.
so that they're already mingling among, and a good recruiter in a corporate side. When I was on the corporate side, always realized a hiring manager that had good connections, and you would work their connections.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
they weren't willing to work their connections as well as you were willing to work their connections. You know?
Right.
But I do think it is shifting more and more in that direction as companies try to become leaner and a lot of recruiting processes are outsourced, or you're using an onboarding kind of company and things like that. I think you're going to see more and more of the hiring manager. And it goes back to, you know, the idea, what does the hiring manager want? Do they really want a person? Because then when they have a person, they have to manage the
right.
person.
Right, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, which adds to their
right.
target again, you know, to meet their projects and meet their...
Right. Because you see this a lot, right, in organizations. You see it in sports all the time, right? And I do the sports analogies constantly, right? But you see these kinds of things in sports where it's this mindset of, okay, if I'm the new coach brought in, or the new GM, or you know, I'm the leader, right, the executive
right.
put in charge of in some capacity, what's the first thing, like, half of them do when they're new? They get rid of everybody who's there, right? They get rid of everybody who's there because they want to bring in their own team.
Right.
I got to bring my own guys. I got my own coaches. I got even players too, right? I've got to, because that bit of, if I'm going to sink or swim, right? I want to sink or swim with the people I wanted to bring on board with me, right? And you know, sometimes we see that in the corporate world, but sometimes we don't. Or sometimes it's more like, you know, well, I just, because you can't do it, right? The corporate world's not sports. You can't walk into a new job and just fire everybody and bring in a whole new team. But that ownership, the person you brought, I guess my point is the person you brought in versus the person who was delivered to you, right, or you inherited.
Right.
I think there's
right.
definitely a different mindset
right.
there.
And I think that's two different people you just said. The person that you brought in, the person that was delivered to you, which would be a recruiter,
right.
or an outside recruiter, and then the person was there.
yeah, right.
You know, already. So you do have that. There is that dynamic. I don't think it's that far of a stretch in the analogy at all, really.
Right, and I think right, the best managers, the best leaders, they figure out a way to make it work.
That's right.
Right. They that's what we talk about in sports, too. We say coaches, there are great coaches all throughout the history of sports who had systems, who had philosophies.
Right.
But sometimes we look at the ones who were able to be a little bit more malleable, right, of their system
right.
or philosophy, depending
right.
on the talent that they inherited or the talent that they had available to them. Those are the real, those are the real excellent ones, right? You know, the guys who, you know, like a Parcells, right? We'll do a football analogy, right? Parcells, you're your Giants guy, right? Those great Giants teams pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball. He got up to New England. They threw the ball 50 times a game, right? Because that's what
that's
works,
what
right?
That's right. You work with who you have and what you need to have done, so.
All right, let me do a quick pause. I got to take a breath. I'm doing a lot of talking, Robert. It's maybe not good for the show. This is the HR Happy Hour Show live from New Jersey, Rutgers University. My name's Steve Bowes. Robert Hans is with me and some New Jersey recruiting team who's I think they're still a little not understanding what's happening over here, which is fair enough. But we're on the college campus, Robert. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, you're involved in education. You have an interest in education. And one of the things we talked about a little bit was this idea of how students, whether it's technical students, college students, you know, whatever they're coming from, how to best get them ready for where they need to go, how to best sort of connect with and work with recruiters, certainly part of it, but also sort of make that transition. So I'd love for you to comment maybe in the last, I don't know how much entry-level hiring you've done, but you've done some. Just comment
some,
maybe
not,
in general about just your observations about students and what you're seeing about, you know, their readiness or their for the workforce, their realities, dealing with recruiters. You know, what's some things you've seen in the last few years?
Well, I'm of two mindsets maybe on this, but the main mindset for me, I think sometimes students tend to build their own communication systems, their own networking systems, their own, and we don't allow ourselves sometimes to enter into. We think our system was the better system. It's like going back, you know, like the football team today in Rutgers is not as good as the football team years ago, but obviously that's not true.
Right.
It's the other way around because the football team is much better here in Rutgers than it was years ago. And I think the student has changed to understand some of the social media and some of the communication tools better than those who are hiring them at this
point.
And they have their own mechanism of dealing with recruiters, dealing with companies, you know, and it's a way of they almost can brand a company, you know, that I don't want to go to this company, I want to go to this company. So I think there's more value there than we give it credit sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think because just because they might look at it a little differently, and every generation does.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
You're never going to be the parent is never cool to the child.
Right.
You know what I mean? No matter how far you go back, it's always going to be that way. So, you know, I think sometimes students get a bad rap today,
and,
I think.
Yeah.
They have a lot more on the ball than we think they do. So.
Yeah, and I think you're hitting on a couple of really interesting points, and I do tend to agree with you. I think the generational stuff, like, is definitely, I think it's valid. I think it's valid to talk about differences in generations, to try to understand them, to try to figure out how that might impact your business. I'm not one of those types who says, oh, you can't, you know, there's no, you know, generalization of any kind is wrong because the minute you do,
including that generalization.
Right. There's always that guy, you know, there that was, oh, I'm a baby boomer and I'm on Twitter, you know, and all of a sudden that invalidates the entire, you know, research and years of study. And so I'm not that type, but I do think, I think you're right that we tend to, right, it's just natural. And it's not just us. It's our parents, right? I mean, it's us. It'll be our kids, right? You devalue what you're less familiar with,
right?
And you sort of overvalue, right, what you know and what you know to work. I think, you know, we talked, you know, so you mentioned Facebook, right, earlier, right? We talked about, you know, everybody's on LinkedIn, and we talk a little bit about Facebook, and it's like, you know, if there was a cohort, and there is, and there's some good case study examples where this is working, but, like, if a company's maybe looking to staff, you know, retail or service or, you know, nightclub, whatever the case may be, right, there's definitely some of those case studies where that like, a Facebook based recruiting advertisement angle or recruiting angle would really work. Like, it would really catch people, the type of people you're trying to catch, where they are, where they might be willing to be contacted. That might really work a lot. And you, as a recruiter, I mean you as a corporation, you have to be willing to sort of move off your game plan,
right? Well, you know what? I think one of the dynamics that are happening in social media right now is that people, I think when they first got into social media 4 or 5 years ago, they had a personal social media and had a business social media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of melding together. They're realizing that's a very difficult thing to have, is to have both of those things going at once, to try to keep two things separate. And because of that, I think, and I think the younger people are more in tune to they immediately text. I mean, email is getting to be old-fashioned for younger people. It's all texting. Yeah. It's all. So as this develops, I think it changes how we have to recruit, how we have to look, you know, at how people are coming in and stuff. So.
Yeah, I do. I think it makes it more difficult, right?
Right.
Like what you said, finding people has gotten a lot easier, but figuring out how to engage with them maybe is getting tougher, right? And I'm the worst, too. Like, it's, the other day, like, I don't listen to my voicemails until, like, they get to be about 10, right? You're agreeing with me. Luana here. Luana's in the room. I'm not going to give your full name, Luana. I won't give you away. But she's nodding. She's validating my, right? Voicemails are horrible, right? But that's a change, right? So if you're used to, forget recruiting. Just you're trying to get in touch with somebody for whatever reason. The voicemail's probably not going to work, right? And so, well, for many people, right? Mm-hmm. And so whether it's a Twitter message you might respond to or a Facebook message or something else, I think that puts a lot of pressure on you to figure that out too, right? You've sourced a candidate or you're working or you're just trying to sell something. Forget, whatever the business scenario is, trying to figure out that way that this person wants to be contacted with when there's now, like, the other day I was sitting at home, right? It's a random night or, big Friday night for me. I was, not really doing anything. And I thought, but I had email was there, my three different emails I have, and Facebook and Twitter and the text messaging and all these things. There was like 9 different ways, probably you call me, I suppose, on one of my 3 phones I have. There's probably 10 ways, LinkedIn ways you could have contacted me at that moment had you wanted to, right? And honestly, I couldn't be bothered. I didn't really want to talk to anybody at the time. It's weird. It's that weird thing. It's like I have all these different – but having said that, so – but it's definitely a challenge, right?
Yeah, and I think another thing that I would say that has changed is, although the phone is still probably the tool for a recruiter, maybe email going first is sometimes better. It's more engaging.
Yeah.
Or some other medium is more engaging at times to get into the conversation rather than – and then explore that conversation more deeply from a phone call, okay? The cold call – is to me is a little hard. I think the cold email is a little more effective than the cold call at this point. Now, some people would argue that. I'm sure there would be people that would argue that against it. But to me, I really feel that has a, is one of the changes that is starting to happen.
Yeah, and I have a follow. You have a comment, Luana?
I was just going to say, I think email is definitely much more immediate, I find, because people don't return your phone calls until days later.
Right.
So I think I can get an immediate response because I know people on BlackBerry, iPhone, as soon as I send an email, they immediately respond. I'm available at 5:30. It's more immediate.
Yeah. And I think it's how you present it, too. It's not like, hey, I got this job for you right away. You know what I mean? Like, you have to – that's how you would talk to somebody. You talk to somebody by saying – introducing yourself a little bit and trying to go in a different direction. Even a voicemail is not going to work if you just say that on the voicemail. You have to do your voicemail right, too. It's an art, again.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an art to it so that you make sure that the person, doesn't feel – I guess, threatened by it, and would be willing to engage with you.
Yeah, let me do a quick pause reset, and I wrote down 2 things I'm going to ask you guys about. We'll get down this line of sort of communication and engagement, 2 more technology or 2 more avenues of connection I want to ask about since we're talking about this, and I think it's fascinating. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. Robert Hans is with me. A room full of New Jersey recruiters are here. We are having a great time here at Rutgers University, Scarlet Knights. Disappointing season yet again for the Knights, as I recall. I'm not a big college basketball guy, but
I think they're playing tonight. Big East is tonight.
I don't get the sense the students are that enthused about it.
We didn't see too many.
Yeah, I didn't see much evidence of that. So fair enough. So our call-in number is 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board. Folks who are on hold, any of you guys, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Please do press 1. I'll open up your line straight away. For the folks on Twitter, thanks very much. We'll keep an eye on the hashtag as well. Very, very good on that. So Robert, Luana, to chime in if you'd like. I'd love for you – here's 2 things I want to ask. How about texting? A, have you used texting at all in terms of candidate engagement or communication? And B, what did you think about that? Because here's the thing about texting, right? Obviously, to me, that's like the most personal kind of communication these days, even more than the phone call, right? Because the stats are ridiculous about text, right? Like 97% of them are opened, and some, I don't know the real number, but it's some
wow.
very high number about how many are read and returned, right? I mean, is that something that's come up in your game, or have you ever thought about it?
I do not.
No.
Yeah.
For you know, candidate kind of thing.
No.
I would stick to more of a social media approach. If I didn't do an email, and you know, I guess phone call. I do email probably first, then phone call might be second, and then some of the social media, like I might do
LinkedIn, try to make a connection or something. Yeah.
Or Twitter. You know, see if this person's on Twitter. A lot of times you can find what they, you know. I tend to use the internet, not so much through the individual, and then the company's not gonna like me when I say this, the LinkedIn or
right,
because there's so much information that's gathered without have to use a recruiting tool.
Okay.
Other than the internet itself, you know what I mean? Like
that. There's so much information to try to manage. You mean
right.
It's more of an information management kind of problem?
Well, you can find information. Like you can, like you know, most people on their profile they'll have their Twitter account. If
right.
They have a Twitter account. So I mean, there's easy ways to communicate with people, not necessarily through the site that you've initially contacted them.
Right.
Let me put it that way. I think that's the best way I could say it. So.
Right. I think that's interesting, and I think I've seen some of the systems, some of the newer sort of candidate relationship management tools have that capability, you know, much like a sales tool to incorporate texting if a candidate or a contact has, you know, opted into that kind of communication, and they have this mechanism. It's pretty cool, actually. Like you're looking at the profile of the person, right, in your system, and you can click that button. They've got some integration, right, via some sort of SMS provider, right, to text right out. That's really actually.
But I will tell you
cool.
this: I do think that it will grow.
Mm-hmm.
The contacting through Twitter. I mean,
through text. Yeah.
Because the high school student of today, that's all they know.
Oh,
the college
gosh.
Student, that's all they know.
Yeah.
So eventually, they're going to be in the workforce in the next 5 years, and they're going to use that as a tool.
Yeah, I mentioned the statistics about like how many texts are opened, right? But that the statistics around the average number of texts a teenager sends in a day, I mean, those are just, when you see them, they just blow you away. It's like hundreds into the thousands, right? Isn't that crazy?
Right.
Yeah. So how about video? So can you see the video, certainly video interviewing, video as a means of, you know, video as a means of for companies to put videos up. Say, here's what it's like to work here, and here's how fantastic it is. That's been around for a while, and most companies are doing that. So now we've moved into more immersive or interactive kinds of video experiences. There's lots of great video interviewing platforms out there. They're starting
right.
to see some uptick. So, I mean, I don't think it's a question anymore of does video have a place in the process. It's to me is where is it going to fall in the process?
Right,
like, could you see a time where we're you know doing the full-on process? You know, screening, interview again, hiring, all through video, all done, right?
Yeah,
never meet the person face-to-face.
I think so. I think you're going to see more of it, no question about it, because Skype is another thing that has brought us that
mm-hmm.
way, because now Google Hangouts, you can do things, interact with people a lot in a greater detail
right.
before you would get them on site to, if that was necessary. So, yeah, I definitely think it's going to grow. I think it grows from the top down, that kind of – like the two things we just talked about. Texting is going to grow from the bottom up.
Okay.
Because the younger person coming into the workforce is going to start building on it. I think the video comes from the top down because it's the larger corporations that have the ability to – do more dynamic.
Yeah, right. Well,
the more dynamic you make it, the more it feels like an interaction I actually had with this person rather than,
right.
you know, just
yeah.
What part of the process are you identifying texting for the engagement? In the initial engagement after identifying a candidate or with the ongoing interview process?
So if people listening might not have heard that. So the question is, if texting gets introduced into this process, where does it seem to fit in the process? Is it in the intro? Is it in the, you know, here's a new job kind of job alert notification? Where does texting kind of fit, if it does fit? I guess that's the question. And I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is. But I know people open their texts and read them. That's what I do know.
Initially, I think it's good, but globally, I think it has its limitations based on the differences in global communication.
Yeah, could be. Could
yeah.
be.
On abruptness, yeah, an abruptness to it that culturally can be challenging.
I can see texting with a candidate to keep the process going. Definitely,
right.
Without a doubt. If that's
ongoing
their,
communication.
If that's their choice of communication.
That's more arrangements than the interview itself.
Right, right. That's more,
that's
yeah,
that's,
can
that's,
we do this? Can we, text to say, can we have a conversation? Or I have new information, give me a call.
Right.
You know, I can see more
right.
of that type of thing happening in the texting world, whereas the...
I'm
not so sure if you start sending job notices to people through their text.
And then people have...
Yeah, because there's all kinds of problems with that, too, right? The length and the links don't always work, right, depending on the type of phones you have.
People have to be in sync with the process of communication also. So last week I saw a communication and an encouragement that everybody should have a hashtag on their resume, on their phone, to be scanned by a receiving recruiter. As a pre-notification for a recruitment event. I've been doing a lot of college recruiting. And college recruiting, by the way, is not just recent graduates. College recruiting is a lot of people returning to the workforce due to economic conditions.
Good point. Good point.
As well as people returning to school for advanced education and completing education due to changes in their career challenges.
I knew I saw a couple other gray beards out there, Robert. It wasn't just me and you.
So I've been at a lot of recruiting events. The good news is that a lot of employers are back again. The interesting news about the audience that you're communicating with as a professional recruiter is, honestly, 50% of the people there were not newbies who just graduated last week.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Good point.
So one of the things being encouraged and presented at the two recruitment events I've been at in the past, January 1st, are introducing the hashtag, which, again, is a generational issue. So it's very cool to think that, you know, I'm going to hand you my resume and let you scan it into your phone or your iPad by scanning your hashtag
right.
to copy your resume, and for you to return the favor with the description
marked
by a hashtag. So it's like very, very...
I'm already confused. And I don't know what happened.
And you're a tech guy. But
I'm not anymore.
There's a lot of very cool stuff going on, but it's not in sync with generally... it's not that it's not cool stuff, and it's not cost-effective,
yeah.
It's not a value proposition. But it has to be in sync with the population you're recruiting from, especially globally.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's some great points. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, what that brought up to me was the point that people are doing different things to present their resumes
right.
now, and it's more about branding online. I hate to use that word because it's sort of like a marketing
word.
Yeah,
no, you're a big branding guy, Robert. I know. You've got your thing. It's fine.
But it is. I mean, people, that's how people are going to, you know, your resume, I think that you always have a paper resume at some point.
Back to that because that was my next question.
You'll hand to somebody, but I think there's so many ways to hang your resume out there, and not even as a resume. You know, you can do a video, you can do, and
video another
high school students are encouraged to do videos for getting into college and those college.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I'm missing all that.
College students are going to be to do some kind of show who I am and the work that they've done and the projects that they've been on, so that it's all linking together because it's just so easy to do online now.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting observation, and I wasn't really thinking about that. I guess if you think about it, though, that's, again, back to my sports deal, that's been very common in the sports world for a long time.
Right.
So when an athlete's
right.
being recruited out of high school, right, they
right.
The school will create a reel or a DVD or what
nice.
Have you, right,
yeah,
of,
right,
of
right.
the student's best you know, athletic
right.
events and send that around to colleges in the recruiting process. But now it's gone more mainstream. It sounds like it might be going
yeah.
more mainstream. But,
I definitely
but here's the thing that I wrote down and I circled it, and which means it's important, and which means I want to ask about it. What about that resume? Here's what I want. If it was up to me, I want that resume gone. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the rules about it. I'm sick of one page. I'm sick. If I have to read one more article or tweet or blog post about, you know, cover letter, no cover letter, and resume length, and format, and font, and spacing.
I
swear I'm just going to, you know, go crazy. I want that. Can that happen? Can we move to a place where the paper, as you said, Robert, you know, will that ever go away? And I know I'm asking a stupid question. Maybe people are sick of that. As much as I'm sick of reading about it, people are sick of the question being asked. But I don't care. It's my show. I'm asking
it. It just became based on scannability due to the technology.
I want it done. I want it gone.
But how do you stay in compliance with rules and regulations in the recruitment process by eliminating that?
I don't know.
In terms of competencies, compliance.
I want it gone.
Requirements.
I'm seeing web pages just that go directly to the resume.
Yeah, like a LinkedIn profile or a Facebook profile.
They have a link.
I mean, because there's a lot of good reasons to want the resume to disappear. Some of the complaints I have, which are just, you know, I'm just whining, right? And it doesn't really matter what I think. But you know, and then someone pointed, I don't know if this is true or not, you know, all this sort of get rid of the resume talk, and I heard this, I don't know if this is true, but it was like some job for LinkedIn, mid-senior level job at LinkedIn, where the application's instructions were, you know, go send your resume here, right, something like that. So it was like, you know, what everybody thinks gets rid of the resume or potentially could, right, which is LinkedIn. At LinkedIn, you still need a resume if you want to get an interview.
Right.
Which is,
Google and Facebook still ask.
Oh, yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
I mean, you read stuff about some companies who are not asking for it anymore. There's innovative ways to apply.
Certain things that you need to capture in terms of compliance. I'm not talking about...
Can we capture them some other way? I mean, on that piece of paper,
it's
you want to capture them?
I hear what you're saying, though.
There's certain things you need to capture somewhere. I agree with you regarding the resume. I mean, it's very outdated, and it's become a game in terms of scannability on competency.
Keyword game, right?
And probably, in my experience, not used to the extent that people think it's used. Because with such a dearth of candidates, I mean, you're looking for more reasonable ways to catch your attention based on true competencies, if upfront,
right.
The funding, you have headcount, you have a good understanding of what the heck they're looking for. But that's the upfront part before you go through all this work to find the perfect candidate.
It's just a weird thing to me, and I'll let it go. Everything has changed, right? Everything about business and technology and connections and networking, right? And just the technology we have and carry around, we all carry around with us in our smartphones.
Yeah.
Everything has changed, but the stupid 2-page resume on the nice paper is the same as it was, you know, when it was 80 years ago.
Right.
That we can't change. We can't get past that.
Whoever changes paper.
Ridiculous.
Paper resume anymore. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen a paper resume. And what's a long time?
Well, I would still say that 90% of the resumes are crafted to be printed out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're still.
They are.
Well, they have to be scannable.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean,
a lot are machine scanned.
Where I think you can have a different. You know, I do think, like, you know, I'll go back to the point, the younger generation will change it because that's their reality.
Yeah.
You know, eventually the seniors of high school today will be the 30-year-olds, you know, down the road when that happens, 18 years from now, whatever, no, it would be 12 years from now.
Right.
They're 18.
If you think of wireless launch just a little over 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think we will definitely move in that direction. Will we ever get rid of it totally? I don't know. Because there are compliance issues, and that there's always going to be somebody talking about compliance. Keep it in the file, but maybe there's another way of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some places you need to catch essential data based on self. Well, depending on when somebody's an applicant, but we're not having that discussion now. You know, when does somebody become an applicant?
No, I know.
Right.
I can't get a headache. We only got 10 minutes left.
But I hate resumes. I hate reading them.
Most people don't really read them.
I'm not sure what catches you when you're doing it.
Well, let's just, you know, we'll leave it at that. I'm just frustrated by it.
Well, what do you replace it with? So, you hate it, and then what?
I guess it's It depends.
Well, you can build profiles online now. That's the key. I mean,
right.
LinkedIn started that, but I think there's so many other avenues to do it now
too. LinkedIn is really good that way.
Yeah. I mean, you can build a website yourself and just have all your links to let's say you're a project manager and these are the links that some of the things that I've done.
I think you have to have multiple forms of communication because not everybody is at that level of hyper connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everybody that I coach, regardless of the level, to have these multiple ways available. So it's really cool to say I'm walking along with my phone at a recruitment event and just like scan my hash mark and, you know, you're going to get the essential data to match it against your internship.
Well,
that's
QR codes.
Or whatever it is. But you have to have multiple forms of social media available because the receiver who owns the job is not necessarily going to be on that level.
Right.
It's not just generational.
Yeah.
It's also technology and the investment that they have in it, size, scope.
I just get the sense that there's this, you know, one end of part of the market, that professional market, that people who are on LinkedIn, those people who are sort of digitally savvy, many of them would probably be happy to have that digital profile be their profile. And then there's that other sort of part of the market, which would probably be happy just to sort of apply or fill out an online application or do some other mechanism that didn't involve a resume either. They're not, you know, they're the ones, often students are a great example of that, right? Lots of students don't have resumes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work them through the process of creating one, and I just wonder if that's the way, the right way forward. So, anyway, go ahead, Ron.
Going back to when we were talking about LinkedIn, when I said I went on 2004, and there wasn't the amount of candidates that are now present on that, that just shows you how the advancement in, 8 years, has now grown that much more mainstream professionals are on these kind of sites. Where in the beginning it was, you know, I talked to you before, you know, user groups were the big deal, IT, and that's where people went and recruited. But they were so IT-oriented, and eventually that's what all this started from. And grew. So as more, you know, I think recruiters are definitely early adapters or early users of these tools. As other parts of professional, you know, accountants, you know, chemists, and jump more into the field of online, it'll be easier to move in that direction.
Right.
You know, so maybe the paperless resume.
No doubt. Well, I hope we get there. I really do. I swear. And my son's 11. If I have to
you'll be doing a resume.
If I have to help him write a resume, I'll poke my own eyes out.
In 10 years, he'll be saying, "Dad, do me."
Are you kidding me? That better not happen.
You know enough recruiters.
I'm gonna pull like a Marlon Brando too, right? I know so many recruiters and corporate recruiters and HR people. I'm gonna do like that Marlon Brando speech. It's like, if I have to write that resume, I'm going to blame some of the people in this room, because that's exactly what I'm gonna do. It's ridiculous. So we just have a few minutes left in the show. We're having a really good time here in New Jersey with the recruiting Staffing Management Association New Jersey. I'm glad you're with us tonight and hanging out with us on a Tuesday night, our off night, but it's been a lot of fun. With the gang here. Last few minutes of the show. Again, anybody who's hanging online and wants to come on board, press 1 and we'll open up your line. Our calling number is 646-378-1086. I wonder if there's time to see the ball game. If it's a Big East game, that would be over in the Madison Square Garden. It wouldn't be here.
Yes, Big East is in Madison Square Garden. You got to travel a little bit of distance. It's a good hour and a half away, maybe.
It is a funny thing. Jersey is not, you know, it's odd. You go around in the country and go through people and do this. College sport, this is one of the few pockets probably of the country where the average person just doesn't care about college sports. College sports is not...
I am like a wild...
You're the outlier.
New
York is a pro city. It's a pro town, right?
Yeah, well, we have so many pro teams in New York.
Right.
And when you're just over the... Like, I lived all my life just on the west of New York City. So, you know, you always use
the pro city. It's a pro town. New Jersey, New York.
More college basketball and football.
Knicks. Mets, Yankees.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wild, crazy.
Mets, of course.
Yep.
It's weird, yo. What's the best, you know, what's the best New Jersey? I mean, Rutgers traditionally, right, has been the strongest program across the board, and, you know, it's just been a fair to Midland program over
there. Yeah, every once in a while.
Seton Hall,
basketball, St. John's basketball once in a while.
Yeah.
Rutgers has definitely improved in their football.
Princeton.
But now they lost their coach.
Every few years, Princeton, right back in the day, made a run in the basketball.
Yeah. They play four corners.
Yeah.
And slow everybody down.
Why don't we root for those Princeton guys? Because, you know, that's always how we're rooting for the Ivy League sports teams.
That's
never made sense to me.
But
those guys are all going out there. They're all going to, like, become our bosses.
Hey,
right?
Hey, Jeremy Lin came from the Ivy League.
I, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, and I love the whole insanity, but there's an element of that bothers me. It's like, first, you know, and here's what it is. The Ivy League, you know, people, you know, they're already smarter than us. Like, all, you know, they're all over us.
Not
and now,
like that. It's like the theater. It's the one person that gets a chance for
yeah. Now they got to be better at sports than us too. Like, we always had sports over them. You know, we could always.
What does
this have to do with recruiting?
Nothing.
Well, Jeremy Lin does have to do with recruiting because everybody looks for the purple squirrel, and that's Jeremy Lin was the purple squirrel for the Knicks this year.
Yeah, I mean, that thing's been beaten down pretty well. That analysis, right? I guess I probably had
some. Sorry, I don't want to have this conversation unless we're going to talk about March Madness.
You're in the wrong place here. I'm a pro guy. I'm.
Forget it. You're way behind me. We can't have.
I definitely don't enjoy the college. I mean, I'll watch the random game, and March Madness is fun.
March Madness, but the Midwest, it's like
oh my God!
You can't
tell me anybody gets excited about a January game between, you know, Iowa State and Oklahoma State on a Tuesday night. I can't think of anything less interesting or appealing in the world. I mean, it's horrible. Why would you want to watch that? When you could flip the channel and watch LeBron and Kobe and, you know, Kevin Durant, you know. I mean, those.
Too boring.
Forget it. I'm glad we're near the end of the show. I'm never coming back to New Jersey. This reception. I'm never coming back. So we're just about at the end of the show. I don't know what we learned, but we had fun.
We learned.
I have this obsession, like, of a 10-year plan. It's more like an 8-year plan to eliminate the resume.
So that your son doesn't have to have a resume.
Right.
When he goes, that's my goal.
That's the timeline. That's the timeline of how I want this resume to be sunsetted. But the next, honestly. You know, I've got one. You know, I hope, quite frankly, I never have to rewrite mine.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, but I imagine I will.
Unfortunately, I think you may.
After this show. After this show. I might need to start working on it right now. But the next one, at least in my mind, right, the next one I probably have to work on is his, and I hope I never have to work on it. So that's my mission.
Well, his records will be in the cloud. It'll just be reach up and reach down and float.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Float the fluff.
It better be. All right, last words, Robert, before we wrap it up. From the staffing managers,
staffing managers
of New Jersey. Let's talk about that.
Of New Jersey, please find us on LinkedIn. We have a LinkedIn group. We have a Twitter account. It's at @SMA_New Jersey. You can also find us at SMA.org. Right, SMA_New Jersey.org.
And on Twitter, it's SMA_NJ?
NJ, right.
SMA_NJ on Twitter. I'll have to tweet that out in a minute.
Right.
So, please.
One of the reasons we wanted to have Steve, and I thank Steve a lot for coming down and doing this for us, but we wanted to have a different vehicle to present a chapter meeting, and I think this vehicle is excellent. Steve has really grown this very, very well in his course of his HR happy hour, so this has been a great experience to see it up close and personal.
It's quite something, isn't it, once you see it? It's a bit like, what's that expression about, they say about the factories, like, do you really want to see how the sausage is made, right? Sometimes no. Well, cool, it's been great to be back here, and to the folks here sat in and participated tonight, I appreciate you guys for hanging out with us tonight. It's been a lot of fun. What's coming up on the HR Happy Hour? I normally am more well-prepared with a list, but... next week, so this Thursday, I won't be doing a live show. I'll probably just replay this hour in the normal Thursday night slot.
All right, good.
I'll take the night off Thursday. Good. Maybe watch some college basketball or something if I have nothing to do. And then
the Knicks probably play on Saturday night, usually.
I know. That's a good night for the Knicks. And then Eric Myers coming back, social media lawyer to the Stars, will be on in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then what's coming up on the week after that? I should know off the top of my head, and I don't. ERE in a couple of weeks. The Fistful of Talent, the blog power rankings are coming back.
Okay.
After like a year and a half hiatus, the FOT blog power rankings are coming back. We're going to announce the top five blogs live on the radio show in 2 weeks, March, that'll be March 22nd. So that'll be exciting. So that's it. So what else? That's it. HRHappyHour.net. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time from the show. Good night, New Jersey. Thank you.
I'm very passionate.